Thank you, Blake, and good morning. It's good for us to be together this day as we come together to worship our God. I'd like for us to start with a quote that probably you've heard before. I've actually presented it here once in the past, but I want to read for you this quote. Our youths love luxury. They have bad manners, contempt for authority. They show disrespect for their elders and love to chatter in place of exercise. Children are now tyrants, not the servants of their households. They no longer rise when their elders enter the room. They contradict their parents, chatter before company, gobble up food, and tyrannize the teachers. Is this a headline from, you know, modern times or some news report that's going on? This was written by Socrates in 400 B.C. Often, I think, sometimes as we look at our world, and there are always times perhaps in which we could look at things that may be a discouragement, or times in which we think, well, you know, especially the young are just not doing what they ought to. I want to submit to you this morning that that's an issue of perspective. And I think we need to guard against an attitude that would think that this is the way it all is. Because just as in the time in which Socrates wrote, in our own day, there are always those that are serving God and those that are pleasing God. I'd like for us just quickly to notice some examples of this from Scripture as a means of encouragement to us that we might look a little bit more closely at those young people who please God. That was true certainly of Joseph. In the book of Genesis, in Genesis chapter 37 and verse 2, when we're first introduced to some of the accounts pertaining to Joseph, he's 17 years old. Not very long after that is when we first learn that he is sent to his brothers, and it would be on that occasion. Now, he first gives a bad report, but then on another occasion he's sent to them. And that, in Genesis chapter 39, verses 7 through 9, is when he's actually sold into slavery. Now, you might imagine that under circumstances like that, he would have very little hope of being a good man, serving the Lord in a way that's pleasing to him. He's taken from his people that loved God. He's taken from his land in which his family lived. And he's put where there are pagan gods and temptations. Yet we learn that Genesis chapter 39 is when he resists Potiphar's wife. It is in chapter 37, verses 13 through 14, when we see that he's then gives a bad report about his brothers. But I want us to read in chapter 50, and if you'd look with me, verses 19 through 21, the kind of attitude that this man, this young man, in such difficult circumstances has. Now, this jumps ahead several years because this moves to the point in which he's looking back on his youth. He's looking back on that circumstance. This is when his brothers are made known to him. He's delivered them from the famine and his father dies and they want to know, is he going to be angry with us? Read with me beginning in verse 19. Joseph said to them, "Do not be afraid, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring it about as it is to this day, to save many people alive. Now, therefore, do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones, and be comforted." And he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. This young man certainly was one that pleased God in the midst of a difficult time. Samuel, we learn about Samuel in 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. And in the chapters prior to this, we're told about his mother who was barren when the Lord grants her a child, dedicates him to the Lord, and he serves Eli. But it is in chapter 3, verses 1 through 10, when the Lord then, you'll remember, speaks to him. And Eli urges him, when you hear him, that's not me calling you, that's God. And Samuel's attitude was, speak, for your servant hears. There are always those young people that are listening to what God says and trying to do what God says. Over in 2 Chronicles, look with me in 2 Chronicles. In our Wednesday night adult classes, we're going through this history of Israel. Very soon, we're going to come to this figure that is described in 2 Chronicles chapter 34. He's one of my favorites. I've talked about him from this pulpit many times, but Josiah. He would be a king. He'd be a great king. But when we first learn about him, he's very, very young. Read with me in 2 Chronicles 34, beginning in verse 1. Josiah was 8 years old when he became king, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. And he did what was right in the sight of the Lord and walked in the ways of his father David. He did not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. Now you might say, okay, well, an eight-year-old, most eight-year-olds are pretty sweet, right? Well, notice verse 3, for in the eighth year of his reign, while he was still young, he began to seek the God of his father David, and in the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem of the high places, the wooden images, the carved images, and the molded images. Yes, it can be discouraging to look at the world in which we live, but let's not forget there are always young Josiahs that are all around us if we'll simply look. In Luke chapter 1, of course, we learn about Mary, who would be the mother of Jesus, and she is described as being highly favored. If you go with me, though, to Luke chapter 1, let's look together in Luke chapter 1 and look together at verses 37 through 38. Because she's a young woman that's put in a difficult circumstance. She's put in a situation where people will look at her with suspicion. And when she's first told this, imagine if you as a young person were told that you're going to, as a virgin, conceive and you're going to bear the Messiah. What would your attitude be? We see what hers was in Luke chapter 1, verses 37 and 38, where the text tells us, for with God nothing is impossible. Then Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. What a beautiful demonstration that is of a young woman that was willing to serve God and to be favored by God. The last example I offer to you is a young man, Timothy. And if you turn with me to Acts chapter 16, Acts chapter 16, we're first introduced to Timothy. And I'd like us to just notice a few things that Scripture tells us about him that certainly show an example that there are always going to be those young people that are serving God, and we should be encouraged by that. In Acts chapter 16, beginning in verse 1, it says of Paul, then he came to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a certain Jewish woman who believed, but his father was Greek. He was, notice, well spoken of by the brethren who were at Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted to have him go on with him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in the region, for they all knew that his father was Greek. Notice here, even as a young man, he is well spoken of. Here, he's willing to even make this sacrifice within his flesh in order to serve the Lord. Now, why would that be? Well, Scripture gives us a few indications. We learn in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5 that even though his father was a Greek, which the wording seems to indicate to us, we're not talking about proselyte. We're talking about one that probably continued as a pagan, but his mother and his grandmother were women of faith. And that's why in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 through 17, this beautiful passage that talks to us about what Scripture is. It's given by the inspiration of God. It's profitable for things. But before Paul tells us that, it mentions something about Timothy, that he had known the Scriptures from childhood. We've got young people here that are going to their Bible classes. They're learning the tough lessons of Scripture. And they could be described as a Timothy that from childhood have known the Holy Scriptures. Let's end with a text, 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. And I offer this, maybe you're a young person here this morning, and you're having to live in this world in which there's all sorts of bad news about young people. But I offer this lesson so that you can take some comfort and encouragement. You don't have to be that way. And I offer this lesson also for those of us that are older, because let's never allow ourselves to get into that mindset that says, well, it's all just going downhill, everything's bad, nobody's serving the Lord the way that they ought to. Remember Socrates' words? We could look at examples in Scripture where there have been those that haven't served the Lord, but we focus this morning on some that have. And so let's end with this text in 1 Timothy chapter 4, beginning of verse 12. Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Do not neglect the gift which is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the eldership. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Verse 16, take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you.